Government corruption was one of the factors that contributed to the Arab Spring uprisings in the Middle East and North Africa. Stuart Levy, Senior Fellow for National Security and Financial Integrity at the Council on Foreign Relations, has written an article about the issue, and he joins us on the line. Welcome, Mr. Levy.
Thank you for having me.
First of all, could you tell us about the role of corruption in the uprisings?
Well, I think everyone remembers the incident that sparked the uprising in Tunisia, where the vendor set himself on fire because of the corruption that he was facing. But I think more broadly, one of the grievances that has brought people into the streets across the Middle East is a feeling that they are not treated fairly, that their governments are corrupt and not responsive. And this is one of many, but certainly a significant grievance that has sparked the uprisings across the region.
You mentioned in your article that the corrupt leaders have been able to stash their wealth abroad, and this highlights the inadequacy of international efforts against corruption.
That's exactly right. I mean, I had just left the government where this is one of the issues that I worked on, and there are international standards that are supposed to prevent corrupt leaders from around the world from being able to hide their assets abroad. There are know-your-customer rules and so forth that banks and other institutions are supposed to follow. But nevertheless, I think historically we've seen leaders be able to hide their assets and deposit them all around the world. And I think this is one of the lessons that I take from watching the Arab Spring, is that these rules that are meant to prevent it have been inadequate.
And for a solution, you point to, of all places, Switzerland. Why is that?
Well, I think Switzerland has just adopted a law that is part of the solution. It has made it easier for itself, namely Switzerland, to return assets that have been stashed in Switzerland. But the reason I think we should be looking to Switzerland is not because of that law, which is nice as far as it goes, but because of the reason why they passed that law, which is that they don't want to be viewed as a haven for illicit assets. And if we're serious about preventing corruption, we have to play on countries' desire to maintain a good reputation, and that means not being seen as illicit asset havens. And if we're going to make real progress in preventing corruption, we have to create incentives for other countries to put in place serious rules to prevent corruption and preventing the fruits of corruption from being deposited in their financial systems.
Well, how do we go about making these international laws stronger, more enforceable?
Well, I think we need to develop a kind of mechanism that we have in the money laundering and terrorist financing arena, where countries that are not cooperating, their weaknesses are assessed. They are put in a public report, and financial institutions around the world can access those reports and make decisions accordingly. If we did the same thing on corruption, there would be a strong incentive for countries to strengthen their systems and not be viewed as illicit asset havens. They'd have a financial incentive to improve their systems. And without that kind of incentive, I don't think we'll get the improvement that we need.
Well, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.